And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Afternoon. Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle,
Auburn Bloom.
Robert Primo mixing it up this week, people. Don't worry, it's not Friday. You still got to go to work tomorrow, but Primo is here today. We are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to a season that dreams are made of at MSCOpus.org. All the information on tickets for all those cool shows and events. Going on right now, mscopus.org. All right, you can call us 693-1150. You can text us 229-1939. And Primo, today is a day you have been waiting for your entire life. Both the Rangers and the Astros are in the American League playoffs. This is like your dream scenario.
I said before the season, in my joking way, I like to throw out, I'll say, like right now, I tell you, if the Colts win tonight, I'll just look over and tell you, Colts, Seahawks, and that's what we're going to deal with in the Super Bowl. It's a big joke of mine, and so I've been joking, Astros and Cardinals for a long time with friends. And I've been joking, Astros, Rangers, ALDS for all season. You say it's the thing I've been waiting for my whole life. That's not true. I grew up a fan of one team that was in the National League. I have all my life wondered, what would a World Series look like with an all-Texas World Series? We're, 3-4-7 times 2. We're 14 wins away.
That took you a little longer than I would have
hoped. I'm sorry,
I would have hoped.
We're only 6 games away from an all-Texas ALDS. And yeah. It almost feels like we've entered a new universe because, one, like I said, you didn't grow up thinking this was a possibility. So it's a little weird that way. But, two, also, before what I think I was trying to get to, before the season, my big joke was 160 wins. If there's any way, the dream is for the Rangers and Astros to go 1-2, or the Astros and Rangers to go 1-2. I didn't even care how it worked, and frankly, when I was making that joke, I didn't care if the second team made the playoffs or not. I just wanted my Astros and Rangers to dominate the AL West for the rest of, eternity. Just be 1-2 in some order every year. And the goal was 160 wins between them. I cannot believe that I got that. That was a joke. That was not reality. I was not living and dying on every pitch expecting that to happen. That wasn't if the Aggies don't go 10-2, I quit kind of thing. That was a joke. And they've done it, and they're doing it here in, 20-something minutes.
Yeah, my question for you, Primo, is if they play in the ALCS, have you decided yet?
No, I don't know what I'm going to do. what I've always looked at that, or the way I've looked at that, I say always, it's not been very long now, it's just been a couple years, but the way I've looked at it at that is root for the team that probably has the potential to go farther. But I don't know what that means. If they manage to beat, if Texas beats Toronto and Houston beats Kansas City, they can beat any NL team. As far as I'm concerned, both of those teams can. So I guess
I think they'd have the equally unlikely chance of beating the NL team. I think the NL teams,
they suck,
especially Cardinals.
Don't buy that stuff. No, they play in the NL. They don't. They face a pitcher every ninth at bat.
We're going with the SEC West theory here.
Yes,
the AL beats itself up.
Yes,
all season.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, they don't. They're half of the time they will be hard to deal with because you won't have your DH. But and I guess who won the All-Star game this year? It was the
I was at SEC Media Days. I have no idea.
That's a good excuse.
I want to say it was the AL.
Wasn't it the AL?
I want to say it's the AL because I think I jokingly tweeted that the Astros would have home field in the World Series.
So the Cardinals are screwed because they're only going to get to face a pitcher 3 times out of 7. And that's not going to work for them.
I'm just excited. It's today. The Astros are back officially. If they weren't already official, then they're official today. As they get going tonight against Kansas City. You mentioned Texas gets going here in a little bit. Do you like the way those two series set up?
Well, no, I don't like either because I would like Cole Hamels to be on the mound here at 2:30 for the Rangers, and I'd like Dallas Keuchel to be on the mound for the Astros, but Cole Hamels now had what? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, so he is going to be able to pitch game 2. I think that gives him the outside chance of pitching game 5. And I think with Keuchel going Tuesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he's probably only going to get to pitch once. I'm not a big fan of either of those setups. I guess you could say the Rangers are a little bit better. With that said, though, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you'd like Keuchel to pitch 1 and 5. Always. But one thing I do like about the Astros is I like Colby Rasmus and the bat that is sizzling right now.
Yeah, banging away.
I like that Jose Altuve got that base hit for the extra run against the Yankees a day ago in the wild card game. I like seeing that. I like seeing them run. I like seeing the way the bullpen got in and did their work. And I, overall, other than who is starting on the mound in game 1, I like the fact that the Astros are back to who they were throughout the season. The bouncing around, having fun, hitting a home run here and there. I mean, the Carlos Gomez home run was, you know, he may not be able to do that again the rest of the postseason because he hurt himself, but it's that kind of stuff that makes me feel real confident that the Astros may not beat the Royals. The Royals are the type of team right now with that bullpen where if they're playing 6-inning games, and you're probably going to have to get early leads against them to have chances. But I don't even care if they win or lose. I just like the fact that the Astros are back to being the Astros, and that they're probably going to play very competitive games, whether win or lose, and however deep that series goes. I'm very happy with that. I'd love to see Keuchel on the mound, but you can't have everything.
We will get more thoughts from Julia here in a little bit. She's going to join us. I figured at the beginning of the divisional series, got to get her back on. So she'll be with us in a little bit. Yeah. Coach G will join us a little bit later on to talk about Aggie soccer. But Primo, this is also not only do the Rangers and the Astros both play real life, not this like week play-in game, real life playoff games today. Hockey starts for the Dallas Stars today as well. This is like, it's like a holiday for you. I'm surprised you're here.
Yeah, and I'm not going to, well, and I was going to say, I'm not going to ramble on about, you know, all of the preseason hype and excitement you have as a hockey fan, but yeah, as a Stars fan, the Antti how do you say it?
I'm not going to be able to. I'm no help there.
The fact that the Stars went and basically turned themselves into a two-goalie tandem team has me very excited. The Patrick Sharp, Aduya additions have me excited. And, you know, Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin are certainly not old by any stretch. They're still very young, and that has me excited. But they are in a situation where, you know, having been a Romo fan, you do know the window will start closing at some point.
It closes eventually.
Yeah.
Not everyone's Mike Modano.
And so I'm right. They're not. And that's actually a good point, because if Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin can, even if they can be Mike Modano, you still have a salary cap in that league. And the Stars probably, on one hand, you're really excited, they're young, and they're still building, and you hope that the free agents they've added helps their defense. But two, there is a slight worry, because at some point you have to start paying Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin what they're worth. And when you have to do that, it's going to be harder to fill in the team around them. Not super hard, because they're doing a lot. It looks like they made a lot of off-season moves and they just bought a team. That's not the case. Their defense is by and large homegrown, and that will help them afford bigger contracts for Benn and Seguin down the road. But It's a mix of emotions because I'm super excited for them to start, but I'm really nervous to see how they start because last year they finished as a really good team with a well over 500 record. They play in the SEC West of hockey, and there's that division suffers no fools, and they're gonna have to start. They have to start much better than they started last year, so that at the end of the season, it's not going to be such a dogfight trying to get a seventh or eighth seed.
Speaking of teams struggling to fill in around people, I will be attending a game tonight in Houston that I don't know who the Colts are even starting at quarterback. I'm going to be there.
I'm not starting. I have Andrew Luck on my fantasy team. I'm not playing him.
Well,
no
he's
way.
Not. As of a while ago, he's not playing, or he's not ready to go.
There's no way. Right.
Hasselbeck was apparently in the ER.
Right.
So they re-signed the guy they cut on Monday. I'm just saying it's not the ideal day for me to finally get to see my Colts live and in person.
Right.
But I'll take it. I mean, you know, it's live football.
Well, it's live NFL football. You'll have fun.
I haven't been to an NFL game since I was a kid.
So like, you hadn't been to a Texans game?
No.
They have a good time.
I haven't been since I saw the Cowboys play the Eagles in a ridiculous game. You might know what year it was. And I think the Cowboys lost because of like a safety. There was a safety involved and like some missed field goal. It was one of the worst football games I've ever seen. It was in Texas State. This has been a while.
I was going to say, you're not talking about the game they won because the Eagles botched a field goal snap.
Maybe that was it. Somebody won on some just ridiculous.
Because I was at that game. It's possible.
It was horrible.
We were in the same.
Oh, it was bad.
Airspace.
That was a terrible, terrible football game.
It was a weird game. It's definitely a weird ending if we're talking about the same one.
Yeah, but I'm excited. We're going to go down there and see what the Texans and Colts have in store tonight, so maybe we'll talk about them later. I don't know. All right, hit us up, 693-1150 or 229-1939. What are y'all's topics? What do y'all want to hit on? I thought we'd come back. We'd kind of talk about yesterday. We did some of the big games of the weekend. I thought we'd maybe make some picks there and see who we like in some of those games. I mentioned Julia will join us to talk about the Astros. You see what's going on there. We've got the Today in Ag History later on, and Coach G will join us. And whatever else you want to hit us on, 229-1939. We'll be back. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Get there early or you'll miss out. It's the annual Dealer's Lighting Garage Sale. Saturday morning, you'll find incredible deals on first quality fixtures, overstocks, and scratch and dents. Craftmade ceiling fans at the lowest prices of the year. How about a 52-inch aged bronze fan for only $39.95? Craftmade aged bronze porch fans are only $79.95. And they go fast. Saturday only at Dealer's Lighting, corner of South College and Koenig in Bryan. But hurry, when the clock strikes 12, it's over till next year.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
Tickets are now available for this year's Brazos Valley Fair and Rodeo. Head out to the Brazos County Expo October 16th, 17th, and 18th. There's fun for all with the carnival, rodeo, awesome concerts, shopping, high-flying canines, livestock shows, a tailgate area, and more. Discounted tickets and unlimited ride wristbands available until October 11th at Producers Co-op, Cavenders, and online at BrazosValleyFair.com or call 979-821-1450.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Rudy's Barbecue, and Garland Shelton Imports.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Get ready to make it and make it for less at Joann. The Moonlight Madness sale is going on right now. Enjoy doorbuster savings throughout the store, including 70% off all fall floral and up to 70% off entire stock of fleece fabric. Before you stop by, go to joann.com for your 20% off extra savings coupon. Valid on regular and sale price merchandise. Exclusions apply. It's the Joann Moonlight Madness sale. Sale runs now through Monday only at Joann Fabric and Craft Stores. Lewis.
If you're a high school senior with perfect attendance this year, you could win a new Scion from Atkinson Toyota Scion.
Sign up at AtkinsonItPaysToStay.com.
Here's a crusty curmudgeon, with a country twang tone and a hot sports opinion. It's Olin Sound Off. Olin Sound Off. Tuesdays at 8:20 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Audrey Bloom, Robert Primo. Primo, I'll tell you what, let's give away a couple tickets to the RenFest this weekend. This weekend only. So if you can't go this weekend, don't call in. But 693-1150, if you want to go to the RenFest this weekend, I have a pair of tickets. Give us a call.
And do you have a pair or two pair?
Well, I have two pair. Well, we'll go give away both. Yeah, maybe the first and third call or whatever.
Well, I didn't want to mess you up.
No, whatever Sean wants to do.
We haven't said how many tickets we have.
Well, yet. I was going to give away some later, but then I'll probably forget. I forget all the time. So let's go ahead and do it now. 693-1150. We'll give away two separate pairs. You can't win both pairs. Two separate pairs to the Renaissance Festival or the RenFest this weekend. 693-1150, and Sean will get hooked up there. You will have to come over to the Eagle and pick those up. So if Primo or Cessna has a restraining order against you, you are ineligible to win the contest. Anyone else, feel free to call in. All right, normally on Thursdays, Primo, me and Kroom throw down our upsets of the week, and I realized I should have warned you about this ahead of time.
It's all right.
But I will go. I'll give you the rules, and then I'll give mine, and then that'll give you a little bit of time to come up with yours. The rules are that you have to be at least a 7-point underdog by the line.
Oh,
not
okay.
Any of this like number 13 upsetting number 10 when
can't
they're at home type thing.
Yeah, and
no shenanigans on the
worst strength team is actually favored.
Yeah. None of that. You've got to pick a legitimate, a legitimate underdog.
I may have one.
It's got to be 7 points.
Right.
And usually we do one or two. I kind of gave a spoiler alert on this one yesterday. I like Northwestern to beat Michigan and go to 6-0. The Wildcats have been one of the surprise stories so far, the way they handled Stanford earlier this year. That line currently at 7.5 in Michigan's favor.
I was going to say, you just told me these rules, and now you're already, what are you doing?
ESPN.
Well, I've got 8 here.
ESPN's got that one at 7.5, so I'm counting that. I like Northwestern to beat Michigan. And then, you know, sometimes we throw in that they're not going to win, but we kind of like it to be better than the spread. I like South Carolina to hang with LSU this weekend.
In a weird game.
Right, that's why. The time has been moved. The stadium has been moved.
Right.
Instead of playing this thing in South Carolina, it is going to be in Baton Rouge. It's a weird crowd. People aren't going to be sitting where they normally are. And the whole thing is weird. So I think the weirdness factor contributes to that. And as a result, I think South Carolina plays this one close. I don't think they can beat LSU, but I think they play this one a little closer than people think. So those are mine.
So you give it an alert.
Yeah, that's an upset alert.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you got? You got one?
I right on the line.
Texas over Oklahoma?
No, I'm not going to go there. In fact, I was going to during the break, I was trying to research what were those 65-13, like there's like separated by 2 or 3 years, those 60s to
yeah,
teen
yeah,
scores.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to try to research that so I could pick one that was similar to it but different to see how many years does it take OU to cover all of the possible 60s to teens combination of scores, because I think that's what that'll be. But if 7 points on the line gets me in, I definitely like Oklahoma State's chances at West Virginia. Now, I probably shouldn't.
Interesting.
Because Morgantown is kind of like Lubbock East.
Yeah, it's like the weird, sort of Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff happens there. West Virginia seems to play over its head there a lot. And this might be a great time for them to do that because they're already 0-1 in the Big 12. And, they're not a bad team, as Aggie fans know. Certainly not a bad program. Holgorsen's been, you know, great coach, I think, and a coach maybe that we need to watch in the future if he ever gets them really going. But Oklahoma State, you know, that they've had some trouble because of their criminal release program that they run up there, but they still got a lot of lot that are still in there. So give me Oklahoma State. That is right on the number. And the one that I probably should is even dumber, not because of the Bermuda Triangle factor, but I just can't help myself because what they did last week got me so pumped up about what it means for the Aggies that I think Alabama's got to watch themselves this
week. Yeah, see, I like them on alert,
and
too.
I think Arkansas is just the type of team now with that win under their belt. They've got just the type of coach who's going to feed. He's got a little of that Colby Rasmus high five swing around third base that he's got, and that Carlos Gomez bat release arrogance that an Arkansas.
They could strike out 80 times, well, one home run in their back.
And the thing is, what are they playing for? You know, they've got nothing to lose.
They're wild.
And everything to gain. Whereas Alabama now has everything to lose and very little to gain, other than they just can keep trying to gain a little each week as they try to climb back into the SEC West race. If you consider a 1-1 team out, it's probably not smart to consider them out yet.
I'm considering them out.
Well, in 2 weeks, you may be able to do that officially, but. Yeah, I wouldn't go betting a lot of money on this, but I will if we're going to play this game. You know, Alabama is 16.5 point favorites.
Yeah, they're on alert.
Give me the Razorbacks. Why not?
I'm also this one's right on the line. This one's right at 7 points. I'm not gonna this. I don't like this one enough to call it in the paper, but this is like a super alert. it means that I like it, but not enough that I'm so far behind in the prog that I can't keep picking upsets. I like Cal over Utah in Rice-Eccles Stadium this weekend. I don't think Utah. I think they're good. I don't think they're quite as good as maybe people think they are. I'm not saying they don't deserve to be ranked high, because certainly the way that they've killed a couple teams, they deserve it. But I think there's a weakness there, and I think Cal beats them on Saturday night.
Well, and you're talking about two
weird,
you know,
things happen after dark. Pac-12 after dark.
There's no doubt. You are talking about two undefeated teams playing for a whole lot.
Yes.
Still.
Yes. In Utah.
It's in Utah.
Yeah. It would be it would definitely be an upset.
Well, and Utah ranked, they're fifth in the coaches poll. Where Utah's at right now, they're in that position where, you know, California, the bottom line is it's a big game. It's obviously a big game. I don't know that we can I was going to try to put the Arkansas-Alabama who's playing for more, who has nothing to lose thing. They both have a lot to lose.
Yeah, no, these
in that
two,
game.
Everything game. Is still in front of both of these teams, so that'll be a big game out there Saturday night. Anything in particular you're watching this weekend? We talked about this yesterday. With A&M off, it's one of those weekends where you can kind of go out. And the game everybody's watching, there's the game that Aggie fans are watching.
Well, there's the obvious
watching.
Game you've got to watch if you're an Aggie fan.
Yeah, well, for Aggie fans, there's two. We talked a little about this yesterday. There's Alabama-Arkansas.
Right.
Which you want to see, like, you know, is Alabama all the way back? Has Arkansas gotten off the mat, you know, after the A&M game and all that kind of stuff? And then, of course, there's the just watch it to see what happens, OU Texas.
Watching that.
But every Aggie fan out there.
I mean, I'm from Texas, so I don't want to see. Like, it's already – I mean, Bevo can't even make the trip.
Bevo's out.
And the thing is, even if we were talking about, you know, the thing I'm the biggest fan of still that I do get to watch the games is Cowboys. I don't want to watch DeMarco Murray and Sam Bradford both get hurt. I'm not a big watch a team circle the drain kind of guy, so I just don't want to see it. It will be entertaining watching, I would imagine, for the average Aggie fan, because I don't see any way on this earth, with or without Bevo, that Texas can make a game of that. And frankly, right now, not even at kickoff, I'm talking about right now, Texas has got to do something to try to keep from choking. Because if they come out choking like they get against TCU, it's going to be a second straight week of just full-on 60 minutes of embarrassment. I mean, that was embarrassing. And look, every team has lived through that. Aggie fans remember 77-0. When you are overmatched and you are having a bad season, or there's, you know, things aren't going your way, and then you start, you go out and you start a game, a big game like Texas started off last week, especially I think in high school and college, it can go that way on anybody. And maybe Texas really isn't that bad because of that momentum factor, but I'm telling you, that momentum factor exists again this week because we've seen it over and over and over happen in that game. And if I'm Charlie Strong, I just want to get to halftime with my team still breathing through their nose and out their mouth and the scoreboard not so lopsided that it's leaning over on its side.
Well, you want your fans to still be there when the second half
starts. That
would
be nice.
I think that's kind of what you're going for if you're Charlie Strong this weekend.
That would be real nice.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, you hate to use the term moral victory, but Texas is to the point where you wonder what's a win for them in this game. I mean, if they have the ball within 20 in the second half, is that a moral victory for them? And the thing is, I know it's Texas and their fans aren't going to like moral victories and all this sort of thing, but if they have any hope that this Charlie Strong ship is going to turn around, it's got to start somewhere. And
yeah,
you can't just get absolutely crushed on national TV 2 weeks in a row. But
no, because people like me will say, hey, you got to give a head coach. I don't even care who it is, where he's at. I always feel like you got to give a college head coach, I think, a minimum of 5 years, or you're not really finding out what they can do because of the recruiting factor and the coaching them up once you get them on campus factor. Charlie Strong's, I mean, for all we know, the ejector button is out and ready to be pushed.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You hear people speak in hyperbole and superlatives all the time, and there's, you know, people who insist that, well, you know, if they get embarrassed the second straight week, he's fired. Well, I don't know if Texas really wants to do that in the situation they're in where they've got an interim AD and things are already in flux. It's not a great time to go firing a head coach, but at the same time, if they don't have some kind of moral victory
soon,
then and I'm saying this weekend, then how does don't even look at from the outside, just look from the inside. How is that team going to get together and beat Kansas or Iowa State and make any run at going 6-6 and getting to a bowl game? They're going to have no confidence as a program, and the players are going to start losing. If they haven't all lost confidence in their head coach, but if they go out and get drubbed again, they're going to start losing confidence in their coaching staff, and Charlie Strong's not going to survive it. And, you know, if I'm an Aggie fan, I'm rooting for that because I think maybe I'm not rooting for that. Maybe I'm rooting for Charlie Strong to do just enough to stay there bad for 10 years. But you're right. They need, I would say, 10 points. If they're within 10 points in the second half and still playing to make, you know, playing, they're close enough that a touchdown can get them within a score. I would think that will keep fans excited, and I definitely think that will keep the team into it.
Now, having said all that, I expect him to get absolutely wiped off the map.
No doubt.
Saturday.
60s to teens is my prediction.
How are they going to get in the teens? Special teams touchdown?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you'll be playing OU's JV by the middle of the third quarter, so maybe you can put something together against them.
All right, well, I guess we'll find out. All right, we're going to go to break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more baseball. It's the Rangers are actually about to get underway. So we'll talk with Julie Morales about the Astros, see what their plan is here for this series. To get her thoughts on that when we come back. Get us your text, 229-1939, your topics, your hot takes, your debates, whatever. We will talk about them. Hit us up. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Bill Oliver at the news update on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. The Bryan School Board continues down the road to realign attendance zones by next May to give parents a year to prepare when they take effect in the fall of 2017. Assistant Superintendent Amy Draw says they recently sent this fall's enrollment information to their demographer, who will present a report next month. Then small groups will start meeting in December, composed of parents, business people, city officials, and other community representatives.
Where we meet with them, go over the zones, some samples, get their feedback, get their input. At the end of the small groups, we will bring all those small groups together for a collective meeting. February through April, we'll do some large group meetings. And then in May, we would like to be bringing you a recommendation.
The realignment's the result of elementary schools going through fourth grade, adding fifth and sixth grade intermediate buildings, and changing middle schools to seventh and eighth grades. The first new death row inmate in Texas this year is Gabriel Hall. The 22-year-old from College Station was sentenced last night by the Brazos County District Court jury that convicted him of capital murder in the stabbing and shooting of Edwin Char Jr. nearly 4 years ago. State officials say the 10-month hiatus between death sentences is rare. Three others convicted of capital murder this year received life in prison without parole. A longtime Texas law against desecrating the U.S. or state flag has been ruled unconstitutional by the state's highest criminal court. The 1989 law was challenged 3 years ago by a black man who threw a U.S. flag belonging to a store onto the street after hearing racial comments made by a store clerk. Tonight's College Station City Council meeting includes a proposal allowing outdoor food courts made up of mobile food trucks. Planning and Zoning Commission endorsed the proposal last week and called on those speaking at their hearing to share their opinions, which included a desire to be open in Northgate after the bars close, something that's opposed by the police department. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Bill Oliver on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
St. Joseph Eagle football fans, here's a reminder for you to listen to St. Joseph Eagles football throughout the season on 88.5 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football is brought to you this season by these fine local businesses.
Krause's Paint and Body, Jackie Voss Allstate Insurance, Citizen State Bank, and Memorial Funeral Chapel.
Listen to St. Joseph Eagles football on 88.5 FM. Special thanks to all of our St. Joseph Eagle football sponsors.
Join the Brazos Valley Museum of Natural History for the Boonville Days Heritage Fair, Saturday, October 10th. Enjoy this free celebration of our heritage from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Activities will take place inside the museum and on the Brazos Center grounds. Learn about Brazos County's pioneer history, visit with characters in period costume, observe demonstrations of frontier skills and trades, see an authentic stagecoach, hear from a cowboy poet, and much more. Our activity area will keep children busy learning to make pinch pots and other period crafts. Boonville Days Heritage Fair, Saturday, October 10th at the Brazos Museum of Natural History, located at the Brazos Center.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. Show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
Win a new car or a scholarship.
Sign up at AtkinsonItPaysToStay.com.
Love A&M recruiting? Then you're going to love the Bellucci Hour Lunch with Billy and Bryce each Monday and Thursday at noon here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
St. Joseph Eagle football fans, here's a reminder for you to listen to St. Joseph Eagles football throughout the season on 88.5 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football is brought to you this season by these fine local businesses.
Jeff Paradowski, attorney at law, Glockson Family Partnership, Prosperity Bank, and Jason Bianski, BCR Realtor.
Listen to St. Joseph Eagles football on 88.5 FM. Special thanks to all of our St. Joseph Eagle football sponsors.
You're listening to The Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, Superfly.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Primo. And Primo, I could not be more excited to have our next guest on, because when she joined us on Friday, we had said, hopefully it wasn't the last time we were going to talk to her. And guess what? It wasn't. We might get to talk to her a few more times, Primo. Who knows? We could be talking until next month if the Astros win the World Series. It's Julia Morales. She works the sidelines, the dugouts, the foul poles, the concession stands for Root Sports. She does it all. Julia, welcome back to the show. Back in April, had I said you would be on here ready to talk the ALDS and the Houston Astros, what would you have said?
I would have been a little surprised. No joke. You know, just knowing this team coming in, there was a lot of questions at different positions. I mean, you know, if you think back to what we were all thinking in April spring training, I knew the division was going to be tough, and here they are. It's incredible.
What do you think? There's so many different parts to this story to work into one segment of what the Astros were and what they are now. But is there any one particular part of this team that you love talking about the most? I mean, whether it's a particular player or, you know, people forget they had a managerial change this year and all this kind of stuff. Is there a particular facet of the whole Astros story that you find particularly interesting?
Well, I mean, one thing I really like about this team is just how consistent they were all year. And that's not talking about what they were doing on the field necessarily every day, but it's a group that was really young to start the year in some areas. And then Correa joins, and he's young. They get like McCullers, and he's young. But you never really saw this group change as far as mentality or just how they acted afterwards. There was still that same energy. They get Carlos Gomez. He adds some energy, but it doesn't really change much. I mean, that's the only reason why they're here, right? You know, it's for them to win and be on top of that division for 5 months is hard for anybody, but especially a team who doesn't really know how to be on top of a division and to keep figuring out how to win and learning how to win. I mean, there were some bad games mixed in there. Don't get me wrong. You know, we saw the youth come out. We saw the inexperience come out. But the very next day, and you gotta point to AJ Hinch, like you were just mentioning, who's kind of been at the helm and been preaching that to the guys since day one. And he has conversations with these guys every day. So it's that level-headed approach that they've had all year long, and it got shaky in September. I mean, I was there to see it. They were shaking a little bit. They had the deer in the headlight look a couple times. They go to Arizona. They put 21 runs up on the Diamondbacks, and then they're back. You know, and then it's like, oh, yeah, this is who we are, and why would we let ourselves kind of drop back to that? Maybe we should get beat. But then we all recognize them, and here they are. They beat the Yankees in very Astros fashion. I think they're kind of, you know, they're a scary team right now heading into the ALDS, for sure.
This is one thing I find fascinating with professional athletes is, you know, from a fan, you know, you're thinking Astros, Yankees, like all that history. I know it's the new Yankee Stadium, but all the plaques and busts and bronzes are all there and all that kind of stuff. For a player, I don't know if you got this sense before they headed up there, but did you get a sense that from the players don't consider them the New York Yankees, right? It's just that's who they happen to be up against?
Right. I think you're absolutely hitting on the head. Like, when we were there probably a month ago, 2 months ago in August, you know, there was a couple of young guys that went out and took pictures of things, you know, like, hey, we're at Yankee Stadium. I'm here for the very first time. So for all of that, it's been, you know, they got it out of the way. And then they beat them. You know, they beat them well a couple nights there. Dallas Keuchel pitched well, you know. So their recent memory of Yankee Stadium and this Yankee team is not scary. They put up the lineup the day of the wild card game. And, I mean, it's just, you know. I mean, like, we've watched it, you know, and they were good. And they kind of overachieved for some of the injuries that they had. But this Astros team making the playoffs was so big for them and clinching that playoff spot. So, I mean, they almost had that feel in the clubhouse, like anything we do from here is just overachieving. You know, we're here. And then, like, then you heard the quote, like, the day off. So they had that day off to kind of enjoy that moment of, like, we've reached our goal, but here we go. We've got the Yankees. We can do this. We have Dallas Keuchel on the mound. Like, why not win? Why not keep going? And so that's why I think that's making this team really scary. And here they are playing the Royals, who they've played well against this year. They played at Kauffman Stadium in July, and Correa made one of the greatest plays I've seen him make all year long. In a game that they lost, it might have been one of the best games that I saw the Astros play in all year, just because it had that playoff atmosphere. Kauffman Stadium was packed Saturday night, everybody on their feet. Correa makes a great play to send it in extra innings. I don't know if you guys remember what I'm talking about, but it was incredible, and I think that was huge for them, too. So here they are. They're back at Kauffman Stadium. They've done this. They've been there. They know what the crowd sounds like. They've faced these pitchers before. They've hit some of these pitchers before. So why not? And I think that's a great mentality that they have going forward.
Julie, a lot's made of the Royals' bullpen and how good their bullpen is. And it's almost, you hear people talk about it as it's the thing that makes them what they are. Bullpens obviously are important all season. They become even more so in the postseason. And I've got a kind of a double question for you. One, how well prepared do you think the Astros bullpen is for the postseason? And two, A.J. Hinch is a bit of a bullpen by committee guy, other than Luke Gregerson, who's the closer. But is it possible we got a glimpse into what may be the setup for the postseason and what we saw Tuesday night against the Yankees with Tony Sipp pitching the seventh, right. Will Harris the eighth, and then moving on to Gregerson in the ninth?
Absolutely. I think that turned into your 7-8-9 guys. Pitchick really struggled in September. You all saw it. ERA. I mean, they like to say that there's no confidence loss, but they do get jolted. They're humans. The last time out, if they weren't good, even Mishek's outing in October in that last series wasn't great.
Right.
So Sipp has been their best reliever since he came back from that injury by far. He's been sharp. He's been shut down. Harris continues to do what he does. Gregerson looks great. So I think, they're set up for that 7-8-9. The bullpen is a little different on this playoff roster if you looked at it. I mean, he's going no Chad Qualls, which I think Twitter was very excited about.
Oh, my God. I thought I threw up. I was ready to walk out.
Well, and he had him for the wild card, but you get to re-rack your
right.
roster. And so both managers, him and Joe Girardi, loaded up on pitching because that wild card game. But now it's a bit different animal. And, maybe not having Chad Qualls there is not the worst thing. I don't know. Well, I mean, we'll find out. We don't know. But
what they're doing instead is they've got the two lefties and they've got Josh Fields. So what they're doing really is velocity and versatility over experience here.
Right.
what I mean? Like Chad Qualls is your experience guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a lot of outs in the major leagues.
Sure.
But here we are. This is what he needs. And that's where A.J. Hinch has been really good all year. That bullpen has been solid all year long. And why? Yeah, they're good, but AJ puts them in a place to succeed. He's done it all season long, and they tripped up. I mean, teams do that, and bullpens do that. So they had a rough patch, and that's kind of what everyone remembers right now. But it's like I've watched them for 5 months shut down everybody. So
well, they look great on Tuesday,
right? And they did look good, and they've all got the confidence. And I mean, they've got to be feeling good. As far as KC's bullpen, they have to score early. It was the story with KC last year. It was the story with KC the year before and this season. So they know that. They're going to have to get to the starting pitchers. But then again, this is a team that led league in runs after the seventh inning, most of the year. So they can do that, too. if they get a fastball right down the middle, it's going out of the ballpark. If Chris Carter gets pulled one or, whoever.
Yeah.
So. It's a team that can do it, so I wouldn't say to be too worried about it because we've seen it before with this group.
What have you heard? This may be an unfair question. You may not have heard, but have you heard the Astros say much about Yordano Ventura and how they'll anything about facing him today and what they've learned in the past that will help them with their approach tonight?
I haven't heard anything today. I mean, I remember them facing him earlier in the season. I knew he was going to be tough. I mean, there's a lot of things that the Astros struggle with, and that's why the strikeout number is very high. So they're just going to have to pull from what they've learned so far this season. They're going to have to be disciplined. They're going to have to be patient, and they're going to have to catch up to some of those fastballs this time.
Right. They know how to do that.
Right, and it's going to be a great series, especially, there's some bad blood with the Royals, too. There's a reason George Springer was gone for a lot of the year. That's the Kansas City Royals. They hit him. They're the ones that broke his wrist. There's so many storylines within this little series right now that I'm worried National might miss out on because we watched it. that'll be good. It'll be fun.
Julia, before I let you go, I got to ask because the five-game series is so short that these things could all be decided by early next week. You're from just outside of Dallas originally, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm wondering.
Right.
And I'm not gonna ask if you have any pictures of you as in Rangers gear as a kid or anything, but what would you think it means to the having grown up near Dallas and worked in Dallas for a long time, and now you're in Houston and you do deal with the fans a lot in your Twitter and your reports and stuff like that. What do you think it would mean for the state and especially the teams and even obviously especially the Astros being in the AL now, but if the Rangers could also win their series, I mean, that'd be a whole new era for baseball in the state of Texas. I mean, would it be that big?
It would be huge. especially with what's going on in Houston, like the Rockets are just getting started. The Texans are struggling mightily. I mean, it would be great for the fans. It would not be good for the Houston Astros because they do not match up well with the Texas Rangers.
Not this
year. For everyone else, right. I mean, it's just for everyone else, how cool would that be for anybody? It's turning into more of a baseball state because of these two teams. There's always, well, here recently it's been one or the other, you know. So I mean, the matchups weren't fun at all to watch because you knew the Astros were going to kick the Rangers' butt early, and then here in the last 5, 6, 7 years or whatever, you know, it went the other way, and here we are again. They're both good, so. Guy would set up beautifully. I mean, who doesn't want to be a part of that? And no, I'm not releasing any photos of me wearing any Ranger gear. I would get crushed. So, you know, but for the Astros' sake, goodness gracious, they probably should be facing the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, there we go. Should be a fun weekend. Julia, I'll let you get back to it. Thanks for being with us, and hopefully a couple more weeks left here.
I know, that'd be good. Enjoy the game, Phil.
Thank you.
Always good to talk to Julia Prima. By the way, the Rangers just grounded into a double play.
What?
Out of that inning. So,
no!
Yeah, they did. Top of the first.
That's so. All right.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, little Today in Ag History. Post whatever y'all text us, 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Ice cold, Coors Light.
Two here.
Coming. You know, strolling these aisles, I've seen it all. Jaw droppers, nail biters. Up close, it gives you goosebumps.
Come on, up in.
Now, you want to feel the gridiron thrills in person? If you're a fan of Rocky Mountain Refreshment, you just might. Enter Coors Light's 2015 football sweepstakes. You win. Coors Light jets you and three pals to a game day of all game days. The sights, the sounds, the encased meats. It's pigskin paradise. They're handing off prizes every week all season long. Just grab Coors Light in the beer aisle. Send a photo of the receipt and you could be dancing in these aisles. Coors Light here, born in the Rockies.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Visit CoorsLightGameReady.com for official rules including entry instructions and deadlines, odds, prizes, restrictions, and for details to enter without purchase. Ends 1-8-16 at 11:59:59 p.m. Central. Entry period deadlines for select prizes may apply. Entry for grand prize mention must be submitted by 10-25-15. Must be legal resident of 50 USDC, 21 years of age or older. Void where prohibited. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Great beer, great responsibility. Remember, 21 means 21.
Attention parents with special needs children. Power Sports is now offering a special needs competitive cheerleading team, and it's completely free. Power Sports' new special needs program is a great way to get your child involved in activities which will help them improve on motor skills, communication, team building exercises, and more. For more information on the Power Sports special needs program, call Power Sports at 979-776-0018 or check them out on the web at powersportskids.com.
If you watch TV, listen to the radio, go to the movies, or simply hear people talking, you hear about prescription drugs and their effects. Sometimes these are portrayed as safe or as something that is meant for a good time. Actually, nothing could be farther from the truth. Prescription drugs are prescribed by a doctor with one person in mind and one reason in mind. That reason is to treat someone for an illness or injury. If you abuse your or someone else's medicine, this could be a prescription for disaster. For more information, call 979-846-3560.
For your car, your home, your business too, Acme Glass takes care. On all kinds of glass, you can trust Acme for quality that lasts. Where quality and value keep shining through, Acme Glass, we're the clear leader.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Hargrove Insurance, Terry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Your home for Fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Peace.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Primo, hanging out, wrapping up the first hour. When we come back from the big break here in a little bit, we're going to have Coach G telling us what's going on in Aggie soccer this week. And then whatever else y'all want to hit us up with, 229-1939 is the text line. Primo, someone texted, and something I thought would be interesting for the final segment here. They said the OU Texas game will be closer than you think. It always is. They seem to match up for good matchups every year. Not every year. They've had some blowouts lately too. But
no. But he's right. There are years.
What I was going to ask you.
It does end up closer than you expect.
Is there something to the throw the records out when it's a rivalry thing?
You know what? I would say yes, and it falls in line real quickly with like what happened last week with Texas at TCU. You see that happen in high school and college almost 99% more often than in the NFL, because you're dealing with emotions that run really high and really low really fast. You're not dealing with professional athletes who really do try to stay on an even keel and approach everything the same way. And I think what you see, while you can see the emotions go really down really fast, you can also see them stay up really high for a long time and help a lesser team, go into a game, a big rivalry game, and hang with a much better rival much longer. So, yeah, I think the same way a bad start can end poorly real fast, or can just snowball, I think a good start can boost a team for a long, long time in a rivalry game. And sure, I think that's why we have seen, I mean, Mack Brown's last game against Oklahoma, anybody see that coming? No, but they won, and yeah, you're right. I mean, I think there is something to throw the records out because the emotions, especially high school and college level, they're so high, and for 3 hours, they can keep you doing. They can help you do things that maybe you wouldn't normally be able to do.
Yeah, I was always wondered, you know, if coaches and players, you know, would say the same thing. That's one thing fans, you know, buy into is you can't pay attention to the records. This is a rivalry game, and
I think some of the time it's true.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was just wondering because my thing is,
I think some of the time no. I mean,
yeah, well,
probably
that's
the team itself, the level of the teams matter a whole lot more than the emotions of the game.
To me, it can go. That's the kind of thing. I wonder if it equals out over time. Like versus, and this is, you'd have to have some second level data analysis here. But versus expected, how do games tend to be closer than the spread when it's two rivalry games? Because I could see it. I could see it going one way where it helps the team stay close, but at the same time, I would think the better team would be that much more fired up and wanting to drill the other one into the ground. And someone texted, since 97, only three OU Texas games have been decided by single digits. I haven't verified that, but someone texted that.
Well, I was going to say, yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me, though, because that game really, as far as I can remember, has not been very close very
often.
Yeah,
it's generally, well, and if you're going by single digits as your definition, yeah, because I think the few times where Mac did have the upper hand in terms of the result, you know, Texas would tack on an extra score late and turn it from a single digit margin into a double digit margin. But and obviously, Bob Stoops has had the upper hand, I think, in the matchup. I don't know what the record is, but it seems like all of the lopsided butt whoopings, for the most part, have been have leaned the OU way now for about 15 years.
I also would be interested to know, like, the results if you had, and I don't know how you would even be able to quantify this, but if one team considers it a rivalry and the other one really doesn't.
Well, that's what I was thinking of.
Because, a good example of that
is going to be, how big a game is this really for OU this year?
And a good example of that will be next week. See, not so much in this one for Oklahoma, Texas, because I think, one, that's a huge rivalry no matter what their records are. But then also, two, there just isn't anyone else that OU would say they're rivals with in the Big 12. I mean,
right.
Yeah, the games with Baylor and TCU are going to be big games, but I wouldn't say those are rivalry games necessarily. Maybe Baylor, because they've had OU's number a little bit lately, so
right.
Maybe that one. But I'd be interested more if you could quantify it somehow of if it one team thinks it's a rivalry and the other one doesn't. My thought there is A&M Alabama.
Right.
For A&M, that's essentially a rivalry game. I mean, LSU is probably their biggest rival. I would say probably Arkansas is next. But compared to the kind of rivalries that A&M had in the Big 12, Alabama's right up there now. And so, but on the flip side, Alabama doesn't consider A&M a rival. There's no way. So maybe they have a few guys.
Maybe they have a few players
from Texas or whatever.
Right.
Or, you know, A&M keeps them from a national title at some point or something. But I don't know. I would just be interested to see if games really are closer than you'd think they are based on what's expected when it's a rivalry game. But we don't have that data, Primo. We'll never know. We'll never have the technology. I don't know. They probably do have that technology, right? They have technology for everything these days. All right, we're going to go to the big break. Hit us up, 229-1939, with your questions, your comments, your fiery takes, your thoughts on the world, your anti-Rangers hate messages.
No,
I don't care. Whatever
don't send those.
Whatever you want to send, send them, 229-1939. You can address those to Robert Primo at the Eagle. No, I'm just kidding. All right, if we're going to break, we'll come back with Coach G. Stay with us. It's Aggie Nation powered by the